What do you say we get into the Word, huh? And the Word is a prophecy. And we'll be following the Advent wreath stories. But what I'm going to do is I'm just going to add to that, if I can, a little bit to make what was said by Barb this time here a little more clear. Not clear, that's not even the right word. But just to add to it is all I'm going to say on this part. So let's just begin with a word of prayer. Father, you are almighty. You are special. You are an awesome God. And we've come here to be able to worship you. We've come here to praise you in song. And we've come here to praise you in word. And we've come here to learn from you as well. We just ask that you fill our spirits, Lord. Allow the Holy Spirit to unite us with the unity that comes only from you and the meaning that's behind that too. And as we begin this Advent season, Lord, allow our hearts to be drawn in to the meaning of the Advent season. Not that one season is more important than the other, but in this one here, we're in the reflection of the coming of the Christ child. And as the Israelites are being prepared over generations, we are prepared here for the Christmas season over a couple weeks. And this we pray through your Son, Jesus. Amen. Yeah, so we look at a prophecy, and we also, there's certain things we just need to know before we can understand prophecy. And one of that is basically the definition of what is a prophecy. So there's, not only say multiple parts of it, but there's aspects that help us to remember. I think I have to put this up here so I can see it. That help us to know what this is all about. So, what is a prophecy? Basically, it's just a revelation from God. You know, we sometimes make it out more than what it really is, but it's still a big thing, so it's a revelation. And another aspect of looking at it, it says here that it's a declaration of that which cannot be known by natural means, right? Scientific means, whatever. So I don't think we can create an instrument that determines whether this is really the voice of God or whether this is just something in our head. But we just know that it's from God, and that it's very unique in the sense of, as a prophecy that comes, there's no way someone can know that other than if it was just given to them by God. And that's what you're looking at with a prophecy. And it says here too, you know, it's a foretelling of the will of God, either past, present, or future tense. So we always tend to think of prophecy as like what's going to come down the road. Maybe a week, a month, year, thousands of years from now. What is it that's going to happen? We think of it as a future event. Most prophetic words in Scripture is not that. All right, just so that you understand. But it's just a declaration from God, or revelation that God has given someone and that individual is sharing it. So there's quite a few. If you go back into the Old Testament, there's the greater prophets, you know, the Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and stuff like that. And then you've got the minor prophets where you've got, you know, like Daniel and, Hezekiah and Malachi, the one you had mentioned there. And there's all different types of those. Those are the prophets. Those men, right, they're prophets. They were giving a revelation by God to share with the people. And those revelations were written down. We have that ability to be able to look at that. And as we know that there's that revelation that really comes to that which comes to Christ, you know. Because there's a purpose for the revelation. It's not just to make us feel good or to let us know that God's, you know, out there, you know, this week or next week or whatever. But the idea is that there's a purpose with the prophecy that's given there. So what I want to do is just look at this here. And Jesus says a few things. Because we always, and we wonder, you know, is Jesus the only one that can prophesy, you know, in the sense, you know, in terms of in the New Testament area there. But really, there's a lot of prophets. And some people claim that, you know, since Christ has died on the cross, and those prophets are there anymore. And I disagree with that. I believe God can use us all and speak to us in many different ways. And so we go to Acts 15:32, and it says, Judas and Silas, who themselves were prophets, said much to encourage and strengthen the believers. Now there's a lot in this, in the sense that here's two individuals that were declared as prophets. What did they do as prophets? Not just the future. They encouraged the people to keep their faith. Right? They gave messages from God to encourage those people to keep on keeping with God. That was their role. And it wasn't so much about the future events. There were some that came, you know, up and about. There were some prophetic words there that there was going to be a great drought in Jerusalem. And Paul himself, when he was going around doing his missionary work, was collecting money to help offset the costs of purchasing food for that drought period and everything. So there were other prophets than Judas and Silas, but these two were there. And it was all about strengthening the believers. We tend to think of now, the prophetic word is about the end times. We want to know about those end times because we just need to, we need to have that inside information more so than somebody else. But that's not important. Right? We know the end times are coming. And there isn't anything we can do here to stop it or to change it because God has already ordained what is to come. What we are to do as individuals is to be prepared for that. Well, how do we get prepared? Well, we have prophets like Judas and Silas that come through and encourage us to keep with our faith, even when there seems to be struggles, even when there's persecution, even when it doesn't seem to be going what we thought was going to be happening. And that's a prophet. That speaks God's word, not just any words, but God's word, right? It's how do these individuals know, you know, what words that needed to be said to these individuals at that particular time? Well, God revealed it to these prophets, and Judas and Silas used that to encourage the people that were there. That is important, because we need to be able to know all of that. And as Jesus even spoke, there was a lot of prophetic things that he said. Here's some scripture verse here in John 6. And he says in verses 35 through 40, then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. All those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all those he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. Are these words of encouragement? Of course they are. They're very strong words. Where do these words come from? Yeah, Marsha's right. They come from God. God the Father. Jesus is relaying the very words that God has given him to the people. That is prophecy. Right? And it speaks about end times. It speaks about and at the last day. Now, we said these words are really encouraging. They are for me because it gives me that hope that Marianne was talking about earlier. That when I mentioned last week, I think it was about that book I was reading, there seemed to be no hope in it and stuff. But yet, there is a hope with Christ. But I will say, to those who do not believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior, that He is the Son of God, that He came to die for our sins, those that don't believe that, there's no hope for them. There's other prophecy that says what happens to those individuals, right? They go to hell. So the prophetic word, yes, it encourages those believers, but for the non-believer, it really doesn't do anything for them. In fact, it's kind of a negative thing. You look at in the book of Jeremiah, where the Israelites had pulled away from God. They were worshiping idols, and they just were not listening to God at all. And God finally said, enough is enough. I'm going to have the Babylonians. They're going to come in and take you over. But if you just repent and come back to me, meaning God, then I will redeem all of this back to you. Those are the words of Jeremiah. But no, that's not what they wanted. So even though the prophetic word is spoken, not everyone accepts that prophetic word. As a believer, it's important to be able to know that word. Because if you go back to the Old Testament, I'm going to start reading in Deuteronomy chapter 18. And it says in verse 17, starting in verse 17, he says, the Lord said to me, this is saying to Moses, what they say is good. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among your fellow Israelites. And I will put my words in his mouth. He will tell them everything I command him. Right? Now that's the realm of a prophet. You only speak the words that God gives you. Nothing more and nothing less. He says, I myself will call to account anyone who does not listen to my words that the prophet speaks in my name. But a prophet who presumes to speak in my name anything that I have not commanded, or a prophet who speaks in the name of other gods, is to be put to death. That if you want to try to be a prophet, you got to be. I'm not sure if I would want to be a prophet, because if I slipped up on what God was saying and gave the wrong words, right? That's me. And the punishment for that, according to Scripture here, is death. That's how important God's word is. Every word was to be spoken the way He wanted it, when He wanted it, how He wanted it, and all of that stuff. Sometimes it even had to do actions that went along with that. It wasn't just a matter of just getting up on a pedestal and speaking it, but sometimes the prophet had to, you know, roll around in ashes. Sometimes he had to play dead in the street. You know, there's other things that the prophet did to make the point. And that prophet had to follow everything that God had to do. And then right after this, I'm going to put this up on the screen here. Right after that, in Deuteronomy 18, verses 21 through 22, he says, you may say to yourselves, how can we know when a message has not been spoken by the Lord? If what a prophet proclaims in the name of the Lord does not take place or come true, that is a message the Lord has not spoken. That the prophet has spoken presumptuously, so do not be alarmed. So the rule of a prophet, whether they're a true prophet or not, did what they say come true? That's kind of the basis of it. So during that time of Jeremiah, when the Israelites were not following God, there was a lot of prophets that are around saying that God will never destroy the city of Jerusalem. You'll always have this city, and the temple will always be there. And that's exactly what all the Israelites wanted to hear. But that's not what God was saying. All those prophets were killed. All those people that resisted to being held captive by the Babylonians were killed. According to God, that's what happens in the Old Testament. And so we look at in the New Testament, and we start hearing some words, understanding in the sense that if everything that God says to the prophet will come true, and the prophet proclaims that, then that's the Word of God. Sometimes we need to wait. Sometimes we need to see when this stuff goes through. So when you look at the Old Testament, did the New Testament come in fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecy? And the answer to that is yes. So was the Old Testament prophecy true? Yes. Was that from the Word of God? Yes. And what's really important is that what was spoken in the Old Testament has come true into the New Testament. So let's look at this, John 13. Jesus says this to his disciples in verse 19. He says, I'm telling you now before it happens, so that when it does happen to you, you will believe that I am who I am. So Jesus is telling the disciples in this case, this particular case, that one of you, one of the 12, who has eaten this bread, this communion, will betray me. He says, I'm telling you this before it happens so that when it does happen, you will believe. What is Jesus saying? He's saying a prophetic word. And what's important is that the disciples are hearing Jesus say it. He's hearing Jesus say that I'm telling you first off so that in the end result is that you will believe my words and the things that I say are from the Father. Because everything that comes from the Father comes true. And in this case, that is exactly what happened. But Jesus also told Peter, right, he was going to deny Christ three times. Did that happen? Yeah. He also told the disciples three times that if you destroy this building, meaning his body, that he will raise it up again in 3 days. Did that happen? It did happen. Did he not say that all of the stones of the temple will be destroyed and never put back together again? Yeah? Of course. All those things are prophetic words. And yet people couldn't believe it because there's just no way that's going to happen. And yet to the believer, though we may not always understand the prophetic word, we trust that his word is true. We trust this entire Bible as being true, as the very words of God. So, can there be errors in the Bible? No. Can there be misgivings in the Bible? No. Can there be a manipulation of what God is saying in the Bible? No. And yet you'll get people to say, well, the Bible was written by man, so obviously we're not perfect. But you know, God is beyond that. God can control what's in that Bible. And for all those generations and all those years in which that Bible has been put out, and even in the different translations, though there may be a word instead of thou and thee, we now have you and they, right? The message is the same. And that's what's important. The spirit of that Bible is the same. Now, there are some Bibles that are not biblical, and they belong to different groups of individuals, such as the Jehovah Witnesses and some people that make their own Bibles. What they have done is changed things within the Bible. The translation isn't really what's there. But what's important is that the things that Jesus says, the things that the prophets say directly from God, they're true. Really, it's very important to be able to know that and to be able to trust in you in all of that. We get to the next section here. We're going to be looking at the greatest prophecy of all time. Now, maybe in your mind, there's a prophecy that just stands out above all other prophecies. Can you think of one that comes to mind? What's that?
The flood.
Where the flood comes in? Yeah, where Noah talks about that the flood was going to come in. Sure, that was a prophetic word that was given to Noah. He preached, right, to all those people. Repent. There's mentions of that and stuff like that. But yeah, only his family was saved, right? Any other prophetic word?
He told Peter when the rooster crows, he will be dying.
Yeah. I know, it's kind of like personal too, because even to us and everything, so it does mean an awful lot. Other prophetic words? Yeah, the coming of Christ, the ones that you read right now in Isaiah 6 and or 9, and also was it 54 or 6? Yeah, 53, I think it was, that you read Malachi, all that about the birth of Christ, because that's a huge event, right? It's a turning point in all of history that when Christ comes, dies for our sins, that we've gone from the Old Testament to the New Testament, and there's we're no longer under the law, but we're under what we call grace. And the life, the life of a believer in God has changed. Yeah, good. Anything else? There's other prophetic words out there. The book of Daniel speaks a lot about prophetic words and about the 70 weeks and the time and the things that were going to happen between then and when Christ was going to be coming. There's that. There. Sure. The which one? I couldn't get the first part.
Ezekiel.
Oh, Ezekiel, yes. Yep. Yep. And it's like there's all types of stuff that's out there, and it's just unbelievable and that's out there. So the question is, what is the greatest prophecy of all time? Are you waiting for that? You want to know what it is? It is? Okay, it's real simple. It's God's Word.
What?
It's God's Word. One prophecy isn't really greater than another. They're all great because they are God's Word. Now, there's prophecy that's out there for nations. There's prophecy out there for the end times. There's prophecy out there for us individuals living right now. Right? All of those are important in our lives. To have one over the other isn't to say that there's a greater prophecy than others. Yes, it's great what Christ has done on the cross, and all of that is significant, but everything comes from God. That's the whole point of a prophecy. And so to say that one is better and greater than the other, maybe one has more significance for you than another person, but in general, there isn't one that's greater than the other. All prophecy from God is just a beautiful revelation of His words to us. And to say, well, I don't want that prophecy, I don't want this prophecy. No, all prophecy is important that's there. And I say that in particular because we look at this next one here. In Matthew 5:17, Jesus says, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them." Right? So even Jesus is saying, those prophecies in the Old Testament are important. Very important. Yeah, Loretta.
Isn't really the greatest prophecy that he said?
What is it?
Isn't really still the greatest prophecy that he said he would die and come back to life in 3 days?
It is. No, I'm not saying that it isn't. But what I'm saying is all of God's words are really the greatest things ever. I know what you're saying. Because it affects all of us. That we now have eternal life with God forever. So yeah, that is like so personal of a prophecy that it affects me. That my life now really has an eternal purpose. And not just this thing on this world where I can do some good stuff. But now I'm going to be with God forever. Because He paid the penalty for my sin. I know what you're saying. It is great. It is phenomenal. You know? But even for Peter to be told three times he was going to deny God, right? You know, that really, I can't imagine when Christ saw him and Peter just wept because he knew at that moment that he was frail, that he was breakable, that he was not invincible, that he was just human, that he still needed Christ. And what did Christ do after that? After he came back to life and stuff like that, and he's resurrected, he told the women to go gather the disciples and Peter and bring them. And Peter's faith was just, made even stronger because of that particular event. So for Peter, that doesn't mean as much to me as it meant to Peter, but yeah, it's all there. To have any revelation from God, in a way, in an essence, it's a miracle to have that sort of thing. There's a beauty to it. So do not think that one revelation or prophecy really supersedes another, but they all come together for the purpose of God restoring us to the initial placing, the setting that God wanted us to be, like in the Garden of Eden, where there was no sin, right? The sin was introduced, and that separated us from God. And God made a way to bring us back to that and reinstate us into that area where we can have a relationship with God through the death of Christ. You know, and that's what all of Scripture is about. Doesn't God's eternal purpose is basically this, that I am your God and you are my people? That's what God is doing everything for. That's why He sent His Son to be able to do that. That's why He sent the prophets to be able to do that. That's why He's still sending the prophets that's there. And then we get this here in the end, in the very last part of the Bible, right? And we get this in Revelation chapter 22, verses 18 through 20. He says, I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this scroll. If anyone adds anything to them, God will add to that person the plagues described in this scroll. And if anyone takes words away from this scroll of prophecy, God will take away from that person any share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this scroll. He who testifies to these things says, yes, I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. We end with this particular verse because I want you to know that God's word will never change. His truth will always be the same. You can count on that. God doesn't change His mind about what He's doing with us. He's already been declared what it is. He's even put this in word, in Scripture, in the book of Revelation, in terms of whether you know it's speaking about current times and what's going to happen, or is it just the end times? We're looking at it, and the whole point is that those words are God's words. We may not understand it completely, but as God reveals things to us, there's more understanding that comes, and I accept that. But the things that I don't understand, that I have my faith, that I believe that God's word is still true. We just don't always understand it. We just don't have the capacity to be able to do that. But I like about this, at the end he says, he who testifies to these things, yes, I am coming soon. And that just fills my heart, because there's another word of prophecy, that Jesus is returning. The question is, are you ready? Because we look at this Christmas Advent season, and we're looking at the birth of Christ. Well, the birth of Christ has already happened. We're just celebrating that event because it's the beginnings of a new life for every one of us, right? That the Christ was coming to pay for that, for our sin, as Loretta was speaking about. That's a huge thing. Prophecy was being fulfilled that generations have been waiting and waiting and waiting for. And here we have that very thing happening, or has already happened, and we've got words that talk about that, and we've got writings that reemphasize all of this, so that we understand that God's word did come true. The real thing that we're looking for now is when Christ returns. All right, he's not going to be born again. He's not going to go through that whole scenario of being born in Bethlehem and being a baby. He's going to come as a man riding a horse, as God riding a horse, right? And everyone will know it. Are you ready? As we're preparing for this Christmas season, you're getting ready for that, but are you getting ready that Christ will come again? We don't know when that's going to be. But we have the truth, we have the prophecy that He will return. And when He returns, He asks the very simple question, will I find faith when I return? Will he find that you have faith in Jesus Christ when he returns? That's what he's looking for. And because we have that prophetic word, we don't have to guess what Jesus Christ is looking for. So if you want to work on something this year, if there's something that you want to enhance, not that you can take a course on that, but what you can do is you can build your relationship with Christ, become more intimate with him, and you will find that your faith will grow, because your faith literally comes from God. And if you don't know God, then you have no faith. If you know God, you have oodles of faith, an unlimited amount of faith that's there. Yeah, the prophetic word, the prophecy, is important. It's integrated all through Scripture. It's integrated in our lives today. And I really appreciate that. But just remember that there are many, as Jesus said, many will come claiming to be the Messiah, but they're not. So how do we know? Well, we need to know the voice of God. We need to know the character of God. We need to know the Word of God, and then we can see the fruit that comes from that individual that says, you know, they're a man, woman of God, or whatever. And by their fruit, you shall know them. Right? That's really important that we'll be able to look at this sort of thing. So, in this season here, be that light. You know, it's like if somebody said, oh, Mike, give me a prophecy. That's not me. I can't say that. God doesn't have a word for me to give you in essence right now. You know, something like that. It's not something you do that. However, there may be a time I may be shopping, or I may be, you know, just driving along, and all of a sudden just God hits me and says, Mike, you need to do this. All right? Say this word to this individual, to these people. I get that. But just to pull it out of a hat, that's not a prophetic word. That's just me making up stuff. Be careful with God's words. Know his word. Know what prophecy is. Know what's the identifying factor of a true prophet. But know what God's prophecies are and how they've come true. Meditate on that this Advent season, and how important that is in our lives. Amen? All right, Lord, we just thank you for this word here today. And we thank you for prophecy. Truths. Your truth. That comes to us through individuals that are obedient to you. That can hear your word and share your word with the individuals that need to be shared with. And Lord, we just appreciate you and all that you've done. We're here today because we believe you are Son of God. That Jesus is the Messiah, that he came and died on the cross for our sins, as it was prophesied to do. And we live here now knowing that Christ will return. And in the time that we're here to do your will, Lord. So reveal to us what that is. Give us your word. Let us share your word with others, that we may grow and others may know that you are God. This we pray through your Son, Jesus. Amen.